Okay, everybody, workday's over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
I just can't get over how ridiculous that press conference just was. I can't get over how ridiculous the notion of, hey, I'm going to get in the DeLorean and we're going to go back to 1955. Are you kidding me?
All right, so
educational outcomes and the experiences participating at the highest level of collegiate athletics will remain the driving factor.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on a second. Let's rewind. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Ovius. Jonathan Rand is the producer of this program. You threw me off.
Did we make sure George Kliakoff didn't have a newspaper in front of his face? Is the gambling guy? This is the casino guy?
He agreed with
these two jabronis?
You threw me off at the beginning of this show because it looked like you were in physical pain, which I know is a thing. Because,
no, I am over this announcement.
But that's usually because of your back, but you're actually in physical pain because of the announcement. All right, so at 2 o'clock this afternoon, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 formally announced their alliance. And it was, the best way I can describe this is when something has been hyped up for you, a movie, you know, you're all under the spoilers. It's kind of like how it was with Lost. Remember when Lost was on television? And I absolutely just dove into all the theories. What do the numbers mean? Oh, yeah, et cetera. And then Lost happens and you're like, that's it? That's what that was. Okay. Or as disappointed as I was with the last Star Wars movie, I was like, oh, the hype, how are they going to bring this all home? What does it all mean? And then they just go, we just brought the Emperor back? It's the same old crap? Yeah, well, that's what this is. It's the same old crap from the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12. I'm going to read this press release before you go off, Giglio, because I think people need to know the context here. The Alliance, and they have a graphic for it and everything, the alliance, which was unanimously supported by the presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors at all 41 institutions, will be guided in all cases by a commitment to and a prioritization, thank you, Giglio, of supporting student-athlete well-being, academic and athletic opportunities, experiences in diverse educational programming. The three conferences are grounded in their support of broad-based athletic programs, the collegiate model, opportunities for student-athletes as part of the educational mission of the institutions. These three conferences remain competitors in every sense, just in case you were wondering, but are committed to collaborating and providing thought leadership on various opportunities and challenges facing college athletes, including, these are the bullet points. Tell me when we get to the one that actually matters for the purposes of what we've been discussing since the expansion of the college football playoff and Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC. Student athlete mental and physical health, safety, wellness, and support. That is important. I'm not diminishing that. Strong academic experience and support. Okay. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's important. These are things that we should be doing. Social justice, cool buzzword. Gender equality, all right. Didn't really see that on display during March Madness, but oh, I'm sorry, we can't even use March Madness when we talk about the women's tournament, but go on. Future structure of the NCAA. All right, I mean, that makes sense given what happened in with the Supreme Court and name, image, and likeness and everything else. Federal legislative efforts. Okay, cool. And the last one, postseason championships and future formats. Oh, so there it is. Including the college football playoff. Some of the key talking points from the press conference at 2 o'clock today were that there is no contract. There is no formal documentation. They use the word gentleman. It's a gentlemanly agreement between three upstanding individuals to all work in concert for what they feel is important about college athletics, which all these things that just played out. Scheduling, which is a matter in which they want to address, goes beyond just football. They talked about women's basketball and college basketball. But they also understood, yeah, but we also have these contracts in place. You got to remember, like, ACC teams have football games scheduled through like 2034. Okay. A lot of these things get made out in advance. So there's really nothing they can do, and they're not going to blow up their scheduling agreements because that would cost them money, money they don't want to spend. So it all gets back to a central question. What exactly are we doing here with this alliance? Other than you feel like you got caught with your pants down by the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma, and you feel like you have to do something, and this is the best that you can do.
It's embarrassing for the ACC that they continue to let Duke and Wake Forest be the loudest voice in the room. The two smallest schools with negligible football following are somehow the ones that come up with the most ideas in the ACC and are allowed to be the leaders in the ACC. If I'm Clemson, if I'm Florida State, you don't want to hear this one either. If I'm Louisville,
yeah.
If I'm North Carolina, you got to speak up, guys. Girls, men, women, because you're making decisions that aren't based on football. You're making decisions that right now are not based on reality in 2021. The SEC and Greg Sankey caught you. Understandably, he caught you at a moment of weakness. You, John Swofford, Jim Delaney, I won't even lump the new guys into this. Larry Scott, Bob Bowlesby. You were worried about getting a season off the ground in 2020. Greg Sankey never cared about 2020. Never did. Didn't worry about it because he knew those SEC schools would plow ahead and play football. What he was worried about was the next step, and he was a step ahead of everybody. And he remains a step ahead of everybody because by adding Texas and Oklahoma, the SEC has put itself in a position to best exploit the television revenue and the direction and future of college football. What this was today was, I don't know if I can use the M word, but it was performative.
It was performative.
It was self-performative.
Yes.
It accomplished very little.
Yeah.
Other than maybe this was, maybe Jim Phillips had it in his head that he should be the Big Ten commissioner, and now this allows him to be like the head of the three families.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up
because he seemed to be the one who was running the show.
Yes, this might not matter to anybody, but it's things that we pick up on because, you know, we're around the league, we pay attention to these types of things, etc. I thought it was interesting that it was the ACC that sent out the press release. It was the ACC that set up this Zoom teleconference. The person who was running point on the Zoom teleconference is somebody by the name of Amy Iacola. We've known Amy Iacola for a very long time. She is a high-ranking person within the ACC offices and has been for a very long time. She was the number two to John Swofford when he was the commissioner. She is the number two to Jim Phillips now that he is the commissioner. She was the one running the press conference. The first person to speak on said press conference was ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. And then he also was the one who said, when asked about the college football playoff expansion plan, if he was committed to it, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no, just that they hadn't made a decision yet. Kevin Warren and Kliakoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, sort of echoed the same thing. They were down with expansion. They weren't necessarily down with how expansion looks now that we know more about what's going on with the SEC, Texas, and Oklahoma. Because I think this is important. I think all these conferences want to expand the college football playoff because it means more money. It means more access. But what we're coming to find out with Greg Sankey and ESPN is that this was gamed to favor the SEC, not all of college football. And this is when we get into the margins of the idea. It's not necessarily that Jim Phillips is against college football playoff expansion. He might be against going to 12 teams. Now that we know about what's going on with the SEC, they might, as a voting group, all these three commissioners might look at this saying, well, you know what? Maybe we thought ESPN was a good partner with college football's interests in mind, but maybe they're not, considering that they truly are business partners with the SEC. You know what? Maybe we should open up the college football playoff structure, television structure, to other networks, Fox, a technology company, any number of things. These are all things that would have been really smart to discuss before all this stuff happened. But this gets back to last year. Last year exposed everything. You talked about how Greg Sankey wasn't worried about 2020. You're right. He wasn't worried about 2020. And he was clearly thinking about future things. But last year showed you, everything was laid bare. It showed you who prioritizes what, right? The SEC prioritized football.
It showed you everybody did.
They
all backed down to it.
No, what I'm getting at here, though, is that the SEC never had any issues.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Big Ten was trying to act in such a way that made it seem as though they had the bigger picture in mind.
And it made it seem like they cared about something besides their television money.
Which we know is not the case.
It's not true.
It's not true. And this is where I end up respecting Greg Sankey and the SEC. I would love for somebody to FOIA the SEC commissioners and Greg Sankey, because I want to see the group text today. I want to see the group text between the ADs and the commissioner of the SEC as they're watching this Zoom teleconference roasting everybody. Like, they're sitting here talking, and I'm guessing these ADs are going, do they think that people care about any of the things that they're talking about? Now, college administrators might care about what they're talking about when they talk about academics and all these other things. Presidents might care about all those types of things. But you know who doesn't care about a damn thing any of these dudes talked about today? Football fans.
85% of the fans. 90% of the fans.
90% of the fans. Yeah. Not a soul cares about this. You think Clemson fans were watching this going, yes.
It's a lower percentage of Clemson fans.
You think Ohio State fans were watching this going, yes.
This will solve our problems.
This will definitely solve our problems. The thing was an entire waste of time. An entire waste
of
time.
It was a fugazi.
Yeah, there you go.
First up in Hey Joe from Daniel on Twitter. This is a good one. Hey Joe, are you and Rand now really tempted to turn off the Keurig just to torment Jillio?
Okay, what's going on? explain this to me.
All
what's
right.
going on?
So when I go to the break room to make coffee, invariably the Keurig machine has been turned off. I can't think of a reason for the Keurig machine to be turned off, Joe. We are not in the Unabomber's hut trying to conserve energy.
Okay.
It's not a fire hazard. I can't think of a reason for it to be turned off. When you turn the Keurig machine off, then I have to turn it on.
Yeah.
And it takes a minute or two, maybe even three, to heat the water back up.
Yeah.
I just want to walk up, put my pot in, hit the button, and get my coffee. I don't want the extra steps, Joe. I don't want the extra time, Joe. There's no reason to turn the Keurig machine off. None.
This really bothers you? That you have to wait a minute or two?
I put a sign up 2 days ago.
Yeah, and?
Nobody paid attention
Hold on
to
a
the
second.
Sign.
You actually put a sign up?
Put a sign up
yeah,
that
you
people ignore.
No, you deserve to have the Keurig turned off then.
That's been up for 2 days?
No, you deserve. You deserve.
Now
to have
I just
it
put
off.
Up a big sign today because everyone else was ignoring my previous.
No,
sign.
Actually, nobody was ignoring it. I think people just said "screw you" and they turned the thing off.
Well, the next step is for me to put up a coffee cam to see who the culprit is.
Why does this bother you that you have to wait a minute for the water to heat up? It doesn't take 3 minutes. It takes like a minute.
Takes three.
It doesn't.
I will
take
time
three.
It.
It takes a minute because I've had to do that before.
You know a lot about this, Joe. You seemingly know a lot about this process.
Look, man, I'm drinking my pumpkin spice latte. I'm not drinking Keurig right now. So
this is Pam Beasley vibes from The Office, where she puts the sign over the microwave for someone
else
to clean it. I was
gonna say it's the same thing that happened. I said the same thing to Dennis Cox. All right. So Dennis Cox got all passive aggressive because he decided to unload the dishwasher or load the dishwasher. And it's like, okay, cool. You want a cookie for that? And you posted a video of it. Well, guess what? We know you will do it. Therefore, we just leave stuff in the sink. So all you're doing is you're reinforcing the behavior. Like, oh, okay, we can make Dennis snap and he'll load up the dishwasher. Cool. You're doing the same thing here. Did you ever work in an office before?
Joe?
How do things work at the News and Observer?
Why are you pushing my literally pushing my buttons right now?
Right, because no, you are literally you are bringing this upon yourself by leaving past not even passive aggressive signs, aggressive signs.
They're not passive aggressive. They're very.
Let me tell you the story. They're
specific in their direction.
Shout out to a former sales executive that I used to work with. His name was Joey, or his name is Joey. He's still
I know
with
Joey,
us.
Yes.
You know Joey. Okay. Yeah. So Joey was very upset that somebody was taking food out of the fridge. Like, and at one point he snapped because he had Bada Wings leftovers, and he left them in the fridge, and somebody had ganked a chicken tender from there, right? Ooh.
A single tender?
Like a tender. Okay. A tender. Like, he won't notice. He won't notice this tender's missing, right?
He counted the tenders. He put a tender cam up.
So he got really upset about this, and he left a sign and all that stuff. And it got to the point where everybody else was like, well, now we know how to push his buttons, and now we're going to, like, hide the food. We won't eat the food. We'll hide the food and get him really upset. And he was mad. And we all laughed because it was hilarious. That's what's going to happen to you now. People were just
fine. I'll bring in my own Keurig. That's fine. I already have my own Keurig. I'll bring it in.
You do.
Yeah, you do, actually.
There's two other ones in this building that I will, one of which I was not allowed to bring to the arena, mind you. I had to go out and get my own.
Whatever.
Someone asked you in the hallway, Jillio, like, why are you being so aggressive with it? And you were like, I'm not. And then they mentioned
I'm literally not.
I don't know. Next up from Lumpy on Twitter. Hey, Joe, what's the last kind of color of shirt you'd want to see on the golf course? The last kind of color of shirt.
Yeah, so it's only 2 days worth of data.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see an orange shirt on the golf course, that is the international sign that you are the slowest golfer in the history of golf. 2 days in a row, orange shirt, awful, just... My neighbor was from my neighbor when I grew up in Ringwood, New Jersey.
Is this another golf outing I wasn't invited to?
No. My neighbor when I grew up in
Ringwood,
New Jersey was from Valdosta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And she, Gwen, and she used to say when you were slow, she would say you're slower than owl scat. These people in these orange shirts might as well wear a sign that says owl scat on them because I don't know what it is, Joe. But you see orange, you know you're in for a long day on the golf course.
All right.
Was there someone in orange on Sunday that I missed?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Man.
Does it have to do with age more so than the color of the shirt? I would associate it with age.
Joe?
But then again, there's Roy Williams.
This
he's older.
This is 2 days of data, Joe.
He's actually Roy Williams is one of the fastest golfers out there.
He is.
He is ready golf, man.
Got to be ready to go, Joe. So also, if there's three people and you're in a group and there's only one person behind you, let the one person behind you play through.
Yeah.
Is that what this is really about?
No. Nope. 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 There was an orange shirt yesterday. There was an orange shirt today. Different courses.
So to clarify, did you go ahead of the person in the orange shirt at any point during your round?
No, because it was the back nine.
What does that have to do with anything?
If it was the front nine, I probably would have gone around them and just played 17 holes instead of 18.
Okay.
We're on the back.
Why don't you just ask, hey, can I just tee off here and I'll be quick?
What, are you going to drive up and talk to them?
Yes, that's what I've done in the past.
Oh, okay. Now I need golf etiquette lesson from you. Oh, boy.
Well, listen.
Listen.
See, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed today?
I did not. I am simply pointing out two things in my life that I have been aggrieved by.
Okay,
that's all.
Well, you're being a little ridiculous about these types of things. Are you telling me you've never walked up to another group and said, hey, cool, is it cool if I play here now and then just be quick and move on?
But it requires you being in the same auditory space as those people.
Hold on a second. 860-5-FAN, 860-5326. I need caller clarification on this. I honestly do. I am not making this up. I am being absolutely sincere when I'm asking this question because this is something that I've done in the past and I've always thought it was proper golf etiquette. 860-5-FAN, 860-5326. When I would play occasionally with people who would invite me, people who like me and invite me to go play golf, unlike you, if there was a situation where we were playing faster than the group ahead of us...
You don't strike me as a fast golfer, Joe.
I'm a very fast golfer.
Okay.
You would know this if you ever freaking invited me, but you don't. I'm actually a very quick, ready golf person. I don't mess around.
Right.
Actually, Gold will back me up on this. If you're not going to take my word for it, you'll take Gold's word for it. Gold will back me up on the fact that I'm a fast golfer. Now you got me fired up because you're being an ass. So, you're being an ass.
Were you wearing orange today?
Rather than talking,
the two things I'm aggrieved by.
Rather than talking to the person in the orange shirt to be like, "Hey, man, is it cool if I go ahead of you?"
I have to catch up to them.
Why
at the
can't
same
you
time.
Do that?
I'm not gonna hit the ball and then drive up to them and be like, "Hey, can I play through?"
You wait until the next tee.
Right.
You roll up to them and say, "Hey, guys, we're playing quickly." Or when they're on the green and you've laid up at about 50 yards out. You walk up to them on the green and you say, "Hey, guys, can I play through?" And typically they'll be okay with that and you don't have to just play 17. You're being ridiculous here.
No.
Anybody calling this? Am I on an island here?
Oh, somebody just called. I've had two people call and hang up. I think they're nervous. I think it might be orange shirt guy wanting to identify himself.
No, seriously. I need somebody to properly point this out to me because that's what I've always done. I've never had an experience.
I believe it is incumbent upon the group who's in front to wave the person behind through. That's what I believe.
No, I'm okay with going up to somebody and asking if we can play through, and typically people are okay with that. Now, if they're not okay with that, then we have a problem, and you have to work that out. John in Holly Springs. I asked for people to clarify on this. John, how are you? John!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man, you play a lot of golf, John?
Not so much lately, but when I used to... Mm-hmm. Similar to what you're saying, Ovius, me and my buddies, we like to go out and drink and have a good time on the course and take our time. So if someone's playing a lot faster and serious and, you know, we're obviously can tell they're better than us, then absolutely. We'd tell them, "Hey, go ahead and play in front of us. You know, go ahead and shoot. And we'll sit there, drink our beer, and, you know, just wait for them to go ahead and pass by us." And I just feel like that's proper etiquette if you're playing slow.
But that's my example. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's incumbent upon the group who's playing slow to let the people play through.
John, appreciate the call, man. Quentin in Morrisville. Quentin, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on this. I got to be on Julio's side. If we're talking etiquette, I would feel like the group that's playing slow is supposed to offer.
Okay.
Like they see you, they're on your butt, and they're on your butt the whole time. And
but if they don't, say, but hey, if you so you've through. Never gone up to that group ahead of you and asked them if it's cool if you play through?
No, not really. I mean, I've always offered the faster player to go through, like the single.
Oh, sure. But... I think we're all in agreement in that. I'm saying that I've been in situations where I've been in a group that has asked the group ahead of us, "Hey, you guys are clearly right. enjoying your time. Let us play through." And every single time, they've been okay with that.
That's good. I've never been refused to play through, but like Julia said, it's that auditory space. Like I'm 100 or so yards out by the time I get on the green, and they're on the next tee box. There's no real chance
Thank
for me
you.
To go up and
All
say,
Thank you,
hey.
Quentin. Yes. Quentin, appreciate the call, man.
Clearly, yeah. Quentin never wears an orange shirt on the course or has ever turned my coffee machine off.
Wayne and Bun. Wayne, what's up?
Hey, I'm right there with you. I'm going up there and either I'm hitting up on you and playing through, or I'm going to come up to you and ask you, "Hey, can I go through? I'm not going to sit behind you."
Now, you've clearly done this, Wayne, right?
Oh, yeah.
And have you ever had somebody tell you no?
No.
Okay, yeah. I think people, like, you got to give some people credit. Not everybody's wired like Jillio, who's always looking for slights. Hey, Wayne, appreciate the call, man.
All right, buddy.
All right, Derek in Wake Forest. Derek, what's up?
Yeah, I do the same thing. If I'm playing by myself and there's a large group, sometimes they're probably not paying attention to you. But if I'm, and it's usually if I'm finishing a green and they're still on the tee box. So as soon as I hit up on a green, sometimes I can look over and make eye contact.
Yeah.
Or if I finish and get to the next tee box, I'll ask. And most of the time, in fact, every time, they'll just say yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, Derek, appreciate the call, man. I feel like that's like proper etiquette, and people are generally nice about these types of things. They understand, especially if you're because you're playing by yourself, right, Julio?
I was by myself today.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just you, I mean, you're not going to be taking up that much time when you're ahead of somebody in that situation. John and Raleigh. John, what's up, man?
Yeah. Hey. Hello?
Yes. John, what's up?
Hey. Hold on.
They understand, especially if you're
back. Wait, John, turn the radio down.
I did. I'm sorry.
All right, what you got, man?
Hey, the Keurig machine. There might not be anybody shutting it off. There's a button on the Keurig machine that says if you want it, it'll cut off after a certain period
of
time.
Oh, no.
John.
Don't make me take the sign down, John.
John, are you the coffee person that services the building?
No, I'm not.
All right. I just wanted to double check on that. John, I appreciate the call, man, on the Keurig machine because Karen, John, appreciate the call. Karen, who's working up the front, the Keurig man called.
to tell you that the machine has an automatic turn on and off. It may be set to automatically shut off, and you can turn that setting off.
All right. At this break, I'm going over there.
So.
And I'll even take my sign down.
Once again, I believe my point has been proven. Jillio immediately assumes the worst.
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey, Joe.
Dude,
we've been over this.
How long have you lived here now?
We're not going to go through that argument now, are
we? No, I'm saying you've lived here long enough that the Jersey should be, like, diluted, man. Come on. So all this time, the whole thing was an automatic shut-off?
This is bigger news than the Alliance.
And you're like...
Actually, it is.
And you're like, I'm putting up signs. And you never bothered to look at the machine to see if it has an automatic turn-off?
What? All right. I'm going to look on the back of this machine during the break. Fine.
To catch you up on the previous segment, in the Hey Joe segment, somebody had asked Jillio about what's up with your Keurig machine being turned off issue that you left a sign. And then the Keurig machine got left off again. And then you
were upset.
And now you left like big old signage on the cabinets above the Keurig machine. And one of our callers pointed out that, well, did you check to see if there's an auto shutoff on that Keurig machine? And during the break, we went to go see if there was an auto shutoff. And sure enough, it's not even like a... Jillio immediately goes to the back of the Keurig as though it's some sort of hidden feature. And it's slapping him in the face. It actually is even lit up. It says auto off, and the green little LED light is on to indicate that the auto off is on. So classic Jillio, rather than working through the problem and assessing the situation, he immediately goes to, somebody is doing this to upset me. I'm going to leave a sign now. And instead, you played yourself.
Why would I announce it like that?
Because that's how you get very regal with these proclamations. Ah. You get regal with these proclamations. So, you good now?
No.
Why not?
No, I still have the orange shirt out there.
Fair enough.
Still got Urban Meyer out there. Still got this stupid Alliance release out there.
You got plenty of things to get you worked up and upset. Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, hanging out with us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Brownlow, what's up?
I just wanted to know if the sign was like passive aggressive or he went all in. Knowing Jillio, he probably just went all in and was like, stop turning off the Keurig.
Yeah, that's totally what that was.
But there are so many great passive aggressive office signs that we used to have plenty around too. Like, no one is your mother, wash your dishes or whatever. But
yeah, I actually taped over that sign. Yeah.
Yeah. another office one was when people were just leaving stuff in the fridge and it's like, hey, at the end of the month, we're throwing this stuff out just so you know. They'll mark it and all these other things. So the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 had a press conference at 2:00 today to formally announce the Alliance. The problem, Brownlow, is that you can formally announce this alliance, but there doesn't seem to be anything that would indicate that it's an actual formal thing. They indicated there's no contract, there's no paperwork, just a gentleman's agreement that this is a thing that they're going to do.
I keep I'm trying to find the exact analogy for this. I have vacillated between when I was younger, especially when I was reading the Babysitter's Club books. I used to want to start clubs all the time. And like sometimes my friends and I would start a club and then like, you know, 2 days later lose interest in it. But it's also kind of like, it reminds me of like Dumb and Dumber when they take all the money from the briefcase and they replace it with like IOUs. And they're like, well, these are as good as money because these are our word. And it's just like, what? Okay. That's great that you guys that have mostly just met each other. I'm sure Jim Phillips obviously knows Kevin Warren pretty well at this point, but the new Pac-12 commissioner, whatever. You guys that are like, you've looked at each other's eyes. So everything's fine, right? There's no way someone would try to poach, you know, one of the member schools from your league because you looked in each other's eyes. I just thought that there would be no more teeth to this, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, we literally just saw Bob Bowlsby and Greg Sankey be all buddy-buddy at the last, you know, discussion of the college football playoff expansion. And then 2 days later, Greg Sankey's like sinking the Big 12. So I don't know why they would stand in front of an audience of college football fans at this point and say, we looked in each other's eyes and have trust and think that that would mean anything to any of us.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. And Lauren Brownlow, WREL sports fan, joining us here on the OG. Yeah, I mean, Lauren, the release itself, it really is like a Mad Libs. You know, there's a bunch of stuff in there. Their list of, you know, bullet points are already things that are already happening without an alliance. Nobody cares. This is about money. This is about TV revenue. This is about the playoff. Like, you know how everyone, Lauren, you're familiar as a writer. Like, people, I'm sure someone has told you at some point in your career, everyone needs an editor. This press release read like, you know what? Everyone needs an editor. Let me just boil this down. And it actually explains a lot, because for the last week, or ever since Nicole Auerbach has broke this story, I've been texting even Jim Phillips and all these different ADs, and I'm like, can you just explain this to me in English, what this alliance means? And then they send out this release, and it's like, it's no better than Sandra Barber's, the library Sandy resources. Barber. Sandy Barber, Penn State's AD, saying, oh, we share library resources. Awesome. I'm sure that's going to move the needle with your television ratings.
Yeah, and it's also like, I don't know, it's kind of embarrassing, honestly, like, just being real, because if you send out an email, right, and you talk about this alliance, it's one thing. That's fine. Okay, cool. You guys have this alliance. We all understand what this is about. And I think we all also understand that it's at least in part a symbolic gesture of pushback to the SEC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't want to say that in their conference call or whatever, that's fine. We all understand that that's what this is. That's cool. But I don't understand the point of doing all of this and then getting up there and having a press conference and just saying as little as they like. There's just literally nothing to it. There's even less to it than I thought, and I figured there wouldn't be a whole lot to it, but the fact that they don't even, like, they haven't even put anything in writing to, like, not take each other's teams, that's pretty wild to me. It's like, well, you know, we'll have to answer to people if we do the wrong thing. No, you won't. This is college athletics. Like, and there was so much, I don't know, there was so much talk about the high-minded ideals behind college athletics as well. And I know that that's kind of both the Big Ten and the ACC's thing, and to a lesser degree, the Pac-12. But it's like, y'all are acting like we haven't been watching everything that's gone on for the last decade and that we're new here, and we're not.
Lauren Brownlow, WRELSportsFan.com, hanging out with us on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. All right, to the Carolina Panthers, I think Giglio said yesterday he would just appreciate a fast-forward button for the season. Panthers will finish 9-8, 8-9.
One of those two.
Let's just get to the end of the season. We don't even have, we know how it's going to go. You're already over it, and they've played two preseason games. I was talking to you earlier today, Brownlow, and you basically said the same thing. What am I missing here?
Well, I've been, as you know, I mean, from the moment they hired Matt Rhule, I was meh on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still meh on him. Like, I'm not out, I'm not in. If anything, I think I tend to get more annoyed by him than excited. But, you know, it's early in his tenure. I'm not closing my mind to the possibility that he could grow into the job or whatever. But I just don't. Let's be real here, too, okay? Life is boring around here without Cam. It just is. It's not the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same kind of buzz as when you have a guy like Cam around. It's not. There was always something, you know? We don't even get a crazy outfit anymore, you know? So, like, as cool as it is that Matt Rhule's
I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I would miss Cam right now with the Carolina Panthers.
What's
going on in New England was happening in Carolina with this business of misunderstandings.
He finally appealed to his base, right? Think of all the angry white fans who aren't vaccinated who are now like, you know what?
Good for Cam.
That's right, man. It's your choice.
You do you,
I
Cam.
Know I like that Cam Newton.
That's
I knew
my
there
guy.
Was something about him that I liked.
Well, you know, I was going to say they were able to find some common ground when he got into that tete-a-tete with Jordan Rodrigue, because, you know, sexism. So they were able to
That's funny. Find some common ground. Female talk about routes.
Right.
That's what Cam Newton said. So Cam Newton's going to lose the starting job over this. I'm convinced.
Oh, he is.
He's going to lose the starting job to Mac Jones because he's not going to be reliable.
But there's no way Belichick didn't know that. Belichick knows everything.
Yeah, but when. You can't.
You think this was a one strike policy that Belichick was like, okay, fine, you're not vaccinated, but you get one strike.
How about this? Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, said this today. Jerry Jones.
Okay.
Let's remember who I'm talking about.
Not the most progressive individual in the history of the world.
Okay. No, he is not. This is from Clarence Hill Jr., who covers the Dallas Cowboys very well, I might add.
Yes.
Jerry Jones on unvaxxed players. Everyone has a right to make their own decisions regarding their health and their body. I believe in that completely until your decisions as to yourself impacts negatively many others. Then the common good takes over.
Well,
whoa. Did Jerry just Jerry-splain the concept of team as the owner of a team sport franchise?
Jerry, Dr. Capitalism just explained socialism as well.
Whoa!
While he was at it.
Whoa! But you know what,
if
Jerry,
we're being honest.
You know what Jerry cares most about?
Dr. Capitalism.
No, he cares about that dang Super Bowl. No. That's
winning.
That Super Bowl he has been.
Yes.
Dude.
He's got three of them.
He has said on record that he would trade places with Robert Kraft. Like, he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, Jerry Jones did, and he's like, yeah, this is great, but I would still rather have all the rings that Robert Kraft has right now. Like, that's what Jerry has said. I want one more shot at a Super Bowl before I die. That's what Jerry Jones is talking about. That dude's all in.
I was going to say, Julia, think about all the weird things like rich people are into, right? Like, at a certain point, you have so much money that you got to figure out something weird to put it into that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And if not a professional franchise that, you know, you sort of like wrap your identity into and want to win all the time with, like, what else is there? And that's Jerry's thing. And that's always been his thing. He always wants to win like right now. And he hates that they haven't won in forever. Like, that's driving him insane.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com. Before we say goodbye, Robbie Anderson signed an extension with the Carolina Panthers. You good with that?
Oh, very. It's so bad that I'm like so surprised when the Panthers do a thing that makes me happy. I'm like, wait, what's the catch? No catch. Good. Because you guys know, Robbie Anderson's probably my favorite player on the current team.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy him really ever since that Sir Purr situation when he said, what's that bear doing? I've really liked Robbie.
Y'all call him that, Sir Purr? That was actually my, like, that's what you.
It was amazing.
Y'all call him that for real? Okay, fair enough. So a toast to Robbie Anderson, a toast to Robbie with Bud Light. A toast to you, Lauren Brownlow. We will talk to you on Thursday. Actually, you're going to be here Thursday filling in for Julio, so we'll talk to you then.
Yes, sounds good.
Joining us on the Easter Automotive Group Hotline, Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, who has seen all sorts of behind-the-scenes dirty work as it relates to college football, from debt to the BCS to Coco Locos and everything else. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
We're good. So this alliance that you guys were reporting on this weekend and what you saw at 2 o'clock today seems like they're talking about things that a lot of people don't seem to care about.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of passive-aggressive shots at the SEC and a lot of patting each other on the back and trying to portray themselves as the good guys here. We believe in the collegiate model and honor and integrity, and we look each other in the eye and our agreement to not – we don't need a contract here and all of that. It was that's what this was about, the press conference. In terms of what was announced, it was basically what we said in our stories. They want to vote together on NCAA governance and legislation. They already always do that anyway. It's basically, I guess, some warning shot to the SEC that you're not going to try to just jam through something. We don't even know there's nothing controversial the SEC's doing, like, hey, we want to have like 150 scholarships or something like that, right? Like something that would help them. So there's that. And then basically it's when it comes to the playoff, they're going to block this immediate creation of the 12-team playoff, or they're going to want Fox involved in the bidding process. That's the biggest thing. Right now in the college football playoff, if they were expanding it in 2023, ESPN would have the exclusive right to lock the entire playoff back up.
Mm.
And ESPN and is now carrying the SEC exclusively. And there's a lot of belief, there's a lot of distrust of ESPN right now. What these other leagues do not want is the partner that they're all involved with, the Fox, at least partially Fox, to be shut out of the most profitable and biggest games in college football, which would be the playoff. So what they want is the college football playoff to be like the NFL playoff, which is carried on four different networks, in this case, at least two, if not, we get third one, to try to weaken the ESPN strength on this, stranglehold on it, and to prop up their business partner. Because look, the more money Fox makes on the playoff, the more money Fox can then pay out to them in future deals. Mm-hmm. And then the final bit is the scheduling, which I think is the most interesting to the fans, but is so far off in the future because these, as anyone knows college football, we sign these deals where it's like, hey, you know, Carolina is going to play Arkansas in 2036, right? Okay, great. They sign these long-term contracts out. So the plan that they're going to get to, they didn't want to get into it today, and they don't have a final approval. There's things to iron out, but it's basically if you're North Carolina, you will play one Big Ten and one Pac-12 team every year, and you'll play eight ACC games, right? And then what do they do with the Notre Dame game? If it's that, you know, there's some details, but that's essentially it. If you're Michigan, you'll play an ACC team and a Pac-12 team. If you're USC, you'll play an ACC, you know. So it's basically a way to get to 10 major conference games per year. And so that would obviously increase the number of really good games that will occasionally come up and strengthen general schedules in all three leagues. And that should improve, you know, media rights going forward. It also, when it's eventually comes to fruition, really starve out the SEC on non-conference games. Because if none of the ACC, Big 12, or Pac-12, other than the traditional games like Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Florida State, Kentucky, Louisville, and Georgia Tech, other than that, if no ACC, Big 10, or Pac-12 team will play the SEC, then the SEC really has no one to play in the non-conference. There's like Notre Dame and BYU and a couple, you know, whatever's left of the Big 12 that might be attractive. So that's the one thing they can kind of do to hurt the SEC. But again, we're looking 6-8 years before that's really has any kind of impact, if that, and who knows? I mean, who knows what we're dealing with? And the SEC would probably just respond by going 10 conference games. And not really caring if there's like high quality, you know, Alabama to stay, play two weak teams and take their chances with the 10 conference games of the title. So that's a lot, but that's what they're trying to get to. What they announced today, though, is a lot of like, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, and we all trust each other and love each other.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Dan, I'm curious, what do you think the reaction of, say, Clemson is to something like this, or Ohio State, you know, who probably consider themselves equals with Alabama and the SEC powers?
Well, you know, that's the key. They wouldn't have done this without those schools at least being fine with it. You know, the one thing I think Texas and Oklahoma bailing on the Big 12 shook the system is if you're running these leagues, you make sure your big dogs are happy. You can't sit around the ACC and go, hey, you know, Syracuse, you good? No, you go down to Clemson a lot and Florida State and stuff like that, especially Clemson and Florida State, because those are the two easiest schools for the SEC to add. I mean, culturally, academically, financially, competitively, geographically, everything. Those two could jump to the SEC. That's a lot easier than Texas and Oklahoma. So you're worried about that. But I don't think those schools really see any problem with it. So if you look at it scheduling wise, like Ohio State's already playing Oregon this year. So let's say you drop from 9 conference games in Oregon, they go to 8 conference games and they play Oregon and they play Virginia. Is that a bad thing? Like, is that really a big deal for Ohio State? So It's not as good as having your league add Texas and Oklahoma, but where are you finding another Texas and Oklahoma? There are none. There's Notre Dame, and that's it. Notre Dame has to join the ACC under its contract if it wanted to join a conference, which it doesn't. So there really isn't much these guys can do. Mm-hmm. So I think for the powerhouses, it's like, all right, fine. You know, maybe there's a Clemson, Clemson Oregon game. Maybe there's a Clemson Ohio State or Clemson Michigan that'll be a big game. But other than that, it's kind of business as usual. I mean, I think Clemson likes playing SEC teams. I mean, they're playing Georgia to open the season, but if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. I don't think they're giving up too much because you're just going to get a better marquee. Most of this other stuff just doesn't really affect them.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. All right, we'll wrap with this, with a big picture question. The SEC has made it abundantly clear, man, football is driving this. And adding Texas and Oklahoma and their brands is about, you know, kind of becoming what international soccer was looking at with that Super League that they were trying to kick off, right?
Yeah.
So can you envision in about 15 years as the ESPN ACC contract starts to run out in 2036, that maybe what we're looking at is some type of Super League with football-only playing members? So the scenario would be that the ACC would exist, but we'll take, for the purposes of this conversation, Clemson and Florida State would play other football-minded schools, and then the rest of their sports would play conference games, and the ACC would have its own little football thing too, but they are exempt from the football thing. It's a football only playing type conference. Can you envision that scenario given the way things are going?
I can envision anything at this point.
True.
And I'm kind of, you know, there's part of me that thinks there should just be, you can go play football and then maybe you have a basketball league and then maybe you have a lacrosse league, and you know, they kind of do this in some ways, and then maybe you have your other sports where you're fine with just, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, you don't need your field hockey team busing all over America to everything. You know, they you see some of it in some sports where there aren't tons of sports, hockey, wrestling, things like that, where you kind of have some crossovers. I don't even know if that would be, I think that would kind of be a good thing for a lot of teams. You know, even like say something like Boston College that might want to play football in the ACC, but is better off playing basketball in the Big East or something.
Yeah.
That would be ideal, but who knows, you know. The problem with this is nobody's in charge. I mean, if you take this like the NFL, I mean, it's like the, you know, the NFC South and the AFC East are having a fight right now. Like what is going on here? the whole thing is stupid. There's nobody in charge. There's nobody looking out for the good of the whole thing. Nobody can trust each other. They all stab each other in the back. I don't care what this press conference is. I mean, they're all mad at the SEC for taking Texas and Oklahoma. The ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 would have crawled to take those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was taking them. I mean, if
the ACC, the ACC wanted to back in what, 2012 timeframe?
2012. The Pac-12 tried to get a Pac-16.
Yep.
And the Big Ten would have taken. Everyone else would have done it. So they're all mad at the SEC. It's like, oh, and I get it. I get a lot of fans are frustrated at the SEC and they're getting too big. But what are you going to do? Like, if these guys are on the market and you can get them, what are you going to say, no? If you found out that the SEC said, no, we don't want you, you'd be like, I mean, Greg Sankey would be fired in 2 seconds, as he should. The whole thing is disorganized. It's a glorious, ridiculous, wonderful thing, college athletics. It makes zero sense in any way, yet we all love it. And so you end up with these weird soap operas and oddball situations. Is there a better way to, like, reset this whole organization? Absolutely. But you know, you can do callers for the next 2 hours on how they should do this. Bring back the old 8-team ACC, man. That'd be great basketball. But you know, how do you ever get the Titanic turned around? It's just a mess. It's like herding cats. I mean, even this alliance, who knows, man? It's 41 schools in the alliance. I mean, is this thing gonna hold?
Hey, if American Airlines can have a bunch of puddle jumpers with their logo on it, it's all part of the alliance too, and it all works, guess, on time. You know, we can make it work.
It's kind of like that. You're thinking the alliance, yeah, fly the alliance to Atlanta and fly the Mesa airline. I don't know. So there's a better way than this, but I'll tell you what, it's always entertaining.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, as always, appreciate the time. Been a long time since we chatted. We appreciate it again. We'll talk to you later.
Glad you're doing well, man. Take care.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Well, I kind of gave the game away with the bump that I used to open the show. Some Beatles today. But I had to sing about the alliance, the quote-unquote alliance, because I still have no idea what's happening. But
does anybody?
Does anyone? But the SEC, the ACC, you know, Pac-12 and Big Ten, they're just trying to come together against the SEC.
Here come old Sankey, he come sneaking up slowly. He got after Texas and got Oklahoma. He got multiple teams in the CFP. He's got the best conference, he can do what he please.
I didn't do the thing where you cut it off. I had to get this last verse in.
All right.
They've still got teams left. They play real good football. Don't want others taken. They just want protection. They say one and one and one is three.
Here you go, Julio.
Now we can get books from each other's library. Come together.
That's the whole point of this, right?
Now, over SEC.
That's the whole point of this, right? It's the totally library cards work for totally what everyone.
It's totally what it is.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.